that will result in recognizing acquired assets and liabilities at their fair values, and a predecessor approach that will result in recognizing acquired assets and liabilities at their carrying amount. We have already discussed with you when each approach should apply and reflected your input in our analysis. Our current thinking is illustrated on slide 12. As you can see on the slide, the board is considering the current value approach only for transactions that affect non-controlling shareholders of the receiving entity. For example, when the receiving entity is listed. And a predecessor approach for transactions that do not affect non-controlling shareholders, for example, transactions in preparation for an IPO. We would like to emphasize that requiring those two approaches in different circumstances is not the same as the existing diversity in practice. What we seek to achieve is that like transactions are accounted for the same way, and different transactions are accounted in a different way. At today's meeting, we would like to focus on how each approach should apply. However, in discussing how each approach should apply, please keep in mind when that approach should apply, as illustrated on slide 12. The first topic for the breakout sessions considers how to account for a distribution when applying the current value approach. Keep in mind, this approach may be applied for transactions that affect non-controlling shareholders. In example, in the case the receiving entity is listed. As highlighted on slide 16, a business combination between independent parties is the result of negotiation, and the price paid would normally reflect the fair value of the acquired business and expected synergies. Application of the acquisition method will result in recognizing acquired assets and liabilities at fair value and recognizing goodwill that reflect goodwill internally generated by the acquired business and expected synergies. We understand that in some jurisdictions there are regulations in place that require transactions that affect non-controlling shareholders to be conducted at fair value. However, that may not always be the case. As illustrated on slide 17, if the price paid in a DCCC exceeds the fair value of the acquired business and expected synergies, that difference economically represents a distribution by the receiving entity to its parent. We think that information about any such distribution should be provided in the receiving entity financial statements. As illustrated on slide 18, we identified two possible alternatives for providing information about distribution in the financial statements, either by recognition or by disclosure. Recognition would arguably best reflect the economics of the transaction, but it would also require measurement, and measurement of a distribution would be subject to measurement uncertainty. Question one for the breakout session is included in slide 19, and we ask users which of the two alternatives, recognition or disclosure of a distribution, would result in more useful information and why. And we ask preparers if they foresee challenges in applying any of the alternatives proposed in slide 18, and how any such challenges could be alleviated. The second topic for the breakout sessions focuses on providing comparative information applying a predecessor approach. Just to remind you, a predecessor approach is considered for transactions that do not affect non-controlling shareholders, but they might affect prospective equity investors, for example, in an IPO, or they might affect lenders and other creditors of the receiving entity. We identified two views on providing comparative information described on slide 22. Under view A, entities are combined from the beginning of the comparative period, and comparative information is provided for all combining entities. For example, assuming a calendar year end, if the DCCC takes place on the 1st of June 2019, the combining entities will be combined from the 1st of January 2018. Under view B, entities are combined from the date of the transaction, and comparative information is provided only for the receiving entity. Using my previous example, if the DCCC takes place on the 1st of June 2019, the entities will be combined from the 1st of June 2019. Information for 2018 and the first 6 months of 2019 will be for the receiving entity only. The staff think that in principle, VUA, providing comparative information for all the combined entities, would better reflect the economic of those transactions. In some cases, transactions between all your entities will represent a continuation of a previous reporting entity in a new legal form, as presented on slide 25 and 27. In these cases, comparative information will be generally available. However, in other cases, the transaction will result in a new set of assets, liabilities, and operations being reported together for the first time, as presented on slide 26, 28, and 29. In those cases, providing comparative information for all combining entities could be difficult and could involve judgments and estimates. That is particularly true for the scenario 1B on slide 26 that would involve providing carve-out historical information. Question 2 for the virtual session is included in slide 31, and we are asked users whether for transactions between all your entities they prefer to see comparative information for all combining entities or for the receiving entity only and why. And we ask preparers if they foresee challenges in providing comparative information for all combining entities from the beginning of the comparative period, in particular for the carve-out scenario presented on slide 26.
Okay, thanks. Any questions? That is not the case. Then I think we go to the breakout sessions. And the group are the same as yesterday. All the rooms are the same. And I will see you back at 9:30 for the session.